I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Are you ready to get real? And a hush fell over the crowd. You hear that?
No, we like being fake.
Yeah, I get it. But we're going to push you out this morning because, as we've seen over the last few weeks, we only get out what we put into prayer, right? That's it. We got to put the right stuff in there. And if we want personalized, real answers, we got to supply personalized, real prayers, right? That's how that works. Because to recap, I want to run through what we've been talking about these last few weeks here, okay? Prayer is a partnership, all right? It's not just something we do. It's a partnership. And its purpose is to get us to open the door and receive God's unexpected answers, right? That's how it works. That's our role, which is why we need to listen more than speak in prayer, which we heard last week, 100% true. And then also earlier we heard the story of the sneaky woman who got healed by Jesus. The sneaky woman showed us that we listen through God's word so that we can act out our faith in his answer. That's how we find it and we do it that way. And then that resulting relationship that you have with him when that happens creates such a powerful picture of who God really is and what's going on between you and him, that his reputation becomes more respected and revered than all others on earth. Wow, his name means something. And as his name is hallowed, we are humbled. Because even in his infinite authority that we've seen, right, this incredible God that we have, he calls us individually into intimacy by revealing that every single prayer's ultimate answer is our undeserved adoption as the earthly children of this incredible heavenly Father. Because prayer lets us actually see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And that is so important. That is such a huge statement, because knowing that, just actually knowing that, getting that, understanding it is everything. Because when we finally see that all of this down here is just part of our dad's plan to reveal his love for us, we also see what it really means to love him back. And that right there completes his plan to get us back. Because to have this forever relationship that he wants us to have, love must be what?
Sincere.
It must be sincere if you want it to last. And back in the beginning, ours was not. We were not sincere. So we're here to become sincere by learning why we love. And then also in the process, what we love, how that all works out. And it's a two-step process. It's the rest of this verse. All you got to do is hate what is evil, and then cling to what is good. That's it. That's how we're figuring it out. Our love must be sincere, so let's go through that process. And prayer is our tool to develop that discerning heart that we need that can rightly divide the good and evil things. Because with prayer, we get access to our partner's perspective way up there. And we need that, because in all things, before we judge anything as good or bad, we should double check the view from above to see what it is we should love, right? We need to know that, because we can't see everything down here, because sometimes a better perspective reveals how some of the stuff that you didn't think was good is good. Maybe losing your job, twisting your ankle, or getting that ticket on the way to church was actually a good thing. You can't see it, but he can. He knows what he's doing. So, okay, knowing that we need to routinely, every single day, consult God's perspective from up there on all of the events that are going on down here in our life, Jesus steps in and provides a way to pray where the whole purpose is just to deliver that perspective from above to us in a personal way that is also very prompt. He just gets it done just like that. And we call it the Lord's Prayer. All right, and we've done some teaching on this before, and I'll tell you, it changed me. Oh, it changed the way I prayed, and it's to this day. In the car ride over here this morning, I prayed differently because of all the messages surrounding this Lord's Prayer here. And as we've seen in the past here, the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer. That's not what it is. It's not meant to just be recited mechanically. That's not it. No, it's a guide. It's a pattern. Think of it as a template or a tool, because it's an index that makes it easy for us to plug in all of our personal experiences that we're having every day in our daily lives, so we can pray all of them to our partner with the confidence of knowing that we have asked for his input on everything that he wants in on. And that includes everything from our deepest needs and our darkest secrets, that's covered, to our highest hopes and our most passionate praise, that's in there. That's what it does. It's comprehensive. It shows us everything. It makes sure that we tick all of the boxes to have all the conversations that we need to have to get on the right page. And yet, here's what's so godly about it, right? This is his hallmark right here. And yet, it does all of that. It's so simple that kids of all ages can use it. No problem. In fact, it's so simple, it's a lot like Mad Libs. Do you remember them? Do you remember Mad Libs? So fun. So fun for foul-mouthed children, anyway. If you've never used them before, they're great for car rides and everything. In a Mad Lib, you get a template that is just full of these blank spaces, right, where you're given a prompt to provide some missing words. And then in the end, you read through it, and the result is always this, like, hilariously personalized paragraph that actually says about a lot about who you actually are, you know, and how foul your mouth really is. It did for me, anyway. Got me into a lot of trouble. So anyway, I'm saying that Jesus' prayer guide is like being given a page out of God Libs, okay? That's all it is. It's that simple. It's a kid's game you can play. It's so great because it's the instruction and invitation for all to plug and play. It's just that easy and it's just that simple. It tells us what to do, but then it leaves space for us to do it in our own unique way. It's inviting us to do that. It's saying, make it your own. It's going to be fun, I promise. You know, that's how we designed it. Because every single piece that he provides in the Lord's Prayer is our partner's prompt to pour ourselves into it so he can reveal what he wants us to take away from it. That's why it's designed that way. So when we're prompted to pray a piece that he gives us, like our Father, right off in the beginning there, our job is to provide our perspective, i.e. to personalize it, right? To personalize that prompt. How would you say that? You know, he's not saying just say these words, our dad said, our father. Say it the way that you would say it. And say it the way that it would mean something to you. What does it mean to you? Where you're at right now, today, what's going on in your life? Every single prompt is an opportunity for you to say, this is what it means to me. And then once you've filled in that blank, then you pause right there, right, to hear what God has to say in response. You know, you've prayed something to him, and you've made it in your own, you've personalized it, and then you say, well, what do you think about that, Lord? And then it's game on, because from that, I mean, then you're off and running. That's how it works, because praying that way keeps us engaged. I mean, it's a nonstop thrill ride, guys. It keeps us engaged because it keeps prayer fresh and dynamic and relevant, you know, to me, to the individual, which is so great, because there's nothing we love more than me. You know, we'll listen to that all day. Which is why Jesus' apprentices, they were, remember, these young boys are used to prayer being something completely different. So they were so eager to learn this new way, because this was the antidote to all of that mechanical, religious repetition that they were used to, that they thought this is what prayer was, because of those long-winded Jewish prayers like the Amidah, right? We've talked about that a few times here in the last few weeks. That's what they thought it was. Remember, you remember the Micro Machine commercials where a guy had to say it as fast as he could, or there were terms and conditions at the end of something where you blah, blah, blah. It's like, you don't listen to it, you tune it out, right? That's what they were used to, just try and burn through these things as fast as you can. And he shows up with this Lord's Prayer and changes the game, because it's a quick and simple way to keep prayers comprehensive and concise still. You know, it just does everything. It's so miraculous. And when we practice it properly, it promises to produce all of the fruit that God's been trying to get you to grow. This is it. It's your one-stop shop for everything that you need to do. So, with all that in mind, and I'm telling you, because it changed the way I pray, it's going to change the way you pray. So what do you say we put this all together, okay, and we're going to take a practice run through the whole thing just for fun. You with me? Okay, that's all I needed. Eight people. That's what I said. No more, no less. That's what I wanted. We're gonna run through each prompt and fill it in like we're just doing the God Libs here together. And our first prompt, right? Our first prompt is to always stop and think about where you're at. This is to make it personal. So as we go through, I want you to stop and think about what you would say in each of these situations to each of these prompts. And then we're gonna start it off by praying the first words, Our Father. We pray Our Father. And we do that because he's your dad, right? He tells us that in so many ways. He's your dad. And whatever that means to you, we put into words to personalize it. So how do I express my childlike affection for my devoted dad? How would I say that? Do you say, love you, pops? You know, hey, love you, pops. Morning, father. And you say, hey, dad, it's your favorite kid calling. That would be me. You know, that's how I start a lot of prayers. It's me. You know, I love you. But whatever it is, just be natural, be honest, be you, and then pause, right? Stop talking and listen to hear what he has to say about this relationship that you're talking about. Hey, dad, and so what does he have to say about that? Maybe it felt weird to call him dad, right? Maybe you're like, that just doesn't feel right, that's strange. Or maybe it felt weird to call yourself a kid. You're like, I'm 75 years old, I'm no kid. But ask yourself this, you know, why? Why did it feel strange? You know, that's part of what the prompt does. Listen to what he has to say. And then, you know, you can open his word and then let him show you how to get on the same page. This is why I'm the kid. This is why he's my father. I get it. And then you move on. We go to the next one. In heaven. We pray in heaven because our prayer partner is above all and he's in full control. And so to personalize that, you ask, you know, how do I best express my respect for dad's absolute authority? And one of the ways, I say this all the time, I think Bruce said this years ago, was one of those things that stuck with me that is just so true. We can't affirm this enough. You're God and I'm not. That kicks off a lot of my prayers, just to make sure I know who's who and where we're at. You're God and I am not. Noah here, reporting for duty. That's it. Or sometimes, you know, it's just based on what's going on. I didn't see that coming. You're the boss, applesauce. However you say it, that's it. He just wants to know that it's true. And then pause. Pause. After your words, what do you immediately hear that needs to change in your life? You know, maybe you're convicted by how you haven't handed over a relationship to him or a struggle or a worry to him, you know? You're sitting here saying that he's the boss, but have you given him everything? Maybe he's telling you that you need to work on submitting and surrendering in some specific place. Listen for it. And then you pray, hallowed be your name, which we know all too well. It was a great sermon that apparently Jeopardy contestants don't even know how to hallow his name, but we got it figured out because his name is what draws people into his family. Right? It stands for everything that he is. It's his reputation and it's the power of who he is right there. So how do I express the honor of sharing his family name, that name above all names? Well, you might say something like, well, show me how to show you to others today, right? I want them to see who you really are. Or maybe it's just help me watch my mouth today and make sure that I give you the glory. Or sometimes it's just give me the courage I need to live like you so that other people can see you through me. And then pause to listen for all the opportunities and instructions that he provides every single day where you could better display the trust and the obedience and the comfort and the joy that comes with an adoption into his family. Show him what it means. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. We go out there and live in such a way that they say, who are you working for? You know, where do you get this? And then we point them at that name. And that's how that works. And then we pray, your kingdom come. Because we want it, you know? We want God to adopt everyone and transform everything. You know, this is not for some people. This is not for some areas of life. This is everything. So how do I express my desire for his rule over the whole world? How would I say that? How do you say that? Maybe say, I can't wait till everyone gets on board with what you're giving out there. I want them to all have it. I want them to see it. You know, maybe you're saying, okay, well, let's do this. And what can I do to get things ready for you? I want that kingdom happening right now. Whose heart needs help? You know, guide me, Lord, your kingdom come. Let's do this. And then pause and listen. Do you have any ideas that pop into your mind that might just be his instructions for you to do so he can get it done? You know, that's how he uses us. So just make sure you listen. You say, hey, your kingdom come. I'm going to go play video games. No. You say, your kingdom come. Where do you want your servant? Let's go. Let's do this thing. If you need me, if you need some help, not help, but if you need some hands, I can be your hands. So he can get it done. But then, you know, you got to check yourself. Maybe it's you actually who's the problem. Maybe it's your heart that's in the way. Is your heart the holdup? Because maybe you've got someone or something else already on his throne. I mean, he can't take the throne until you take whoever's on it off. Or maybe it's a different heart. Maybe you see it somewhere else. Maybe you see somebody else who needs some help with your love, and that's all he's asking you to do. But either way, can you hear what he wants you to do to get his kingdom done? Probably. And then we pray, your will be done. Because we want to be the faithful servants that get her done, right? That's us. What an honor. That's incredible. Like, I want to be a part of that. I want it done. Let's go do it. So your will be done. So how do I best express my obedience to his will, right? At this stage of the prayer, I say, okay, I'm the guy. So I'll say things like, what's the plan, coach? You know, what do we got today? Or sometimes I'll know that where I've been wrong in the past, and I'm saying, I know that I'm in the way. So remind me to shut up, Lord. I know that that's the problem. Or sometimes it's just soften my heart because I know I whine when I don't get my way. So help me be better. And then pause again. And in all these things, return to his word. That's where he speaks for sure. Return to his word to make sure that you've heard what his will really is. You'd hate to be working for something that he doesn't even want, right? Get in that word, know what he wants. And then you got to ask yourself if you're really willing to do it. You know, find out what it is and then find out where your heart's at as well. Maybe you've been keeping something off limit that he wants you to do, right? Maybe you've been saying, I'll do anything for you, Lord, just don't ask me this. Chances are he wants you to do this, right? So check yourself. That's what this part of the prayer is for. And then we pray, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Pointed the wrong way. Because we know whatever he has up there works better than what we got down here. All right? It's a hot mess. We can admit that. Things fall apart. So how can I express my trust for what I can't see? You know, you say, show me where I went wrong at work yesterday. You know, I'm not doing something right clearly, so show me where I went wrong. Or just grow my faith in the future. I can't see past this right now. Help me to look past the distractions of down here. You know, that might be it. And then pause and say, how are we going to do that, Lord? And then consider, maybe things are good right now. They're going really wonderful. And he's given you a glimpse of what he's got in store. You know, everything is good. Just stay the course. This is how we do things down here. Or maybe things are rough. Maybe you're going through a rough patch right now to remind you of what earth won't offer. You know, this is all that you can get without me down here. Remember, this is the best that some of this stuff gets. But however he's delivering it to you, listen for any life lessons that he's teaching. Because they're happening all the time. And then you pray, give us this day our daily bread, because we want whatever God is giving out, no more and no less, right? He knows exactly what we need. So how do I express my confidence in God's care, right? I don't need it from anywhere else. So you can say things like, and I have to pray this one a lot, help me to see when to say when, Lord. You know, sometimes I go too much. I want too much. Sometimes I need to pull it back and slow down. Sometimes I don't want to. I need to say, lay it on me, Lord. You know, I want to take it easy. I want whatever, but I'll take whatever you want to give me. Or sometimes you'll pray the popular, let me win the lotto if you think I can handle it. You know, I'll always try and sneak one of those in there too. It's like, hey, is it time? Have I grown that much? No? I'm okay, fair enough. But then pause and think about it. Is he giving you the lucky numbers? Probably not. But he is definitely always giving you something. So maybe it's just time to adjust your appetite to the truth and the guidance or the discipline that he's dishing out. Whatever it is that he's given, that's what you want. And then we pray, forgive us our debts, because we have all violated our commitment to Christ, probably today. I mean, that's how bad we are, right? We've all done it, and we all do it, and we're all going to keep on doing it. Even if we don't want to, it's so difficult, but we want him to know that we're working on it. You know, we want to be held accountable. So how do I best express my remorse for failing to do the right thing all the time? Well, what just happened? You know, you can just, I'm sorry for what I just said to Sally. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry, Lord. I blew it. Help me fix it now. Or as my wife would personalize this part of it, she says, I'm a bozo for being such a jumbo dumbo. I don't know what it means either, but I hear it come out of her mouth all the time. And I don't want to be a jumbo dumbo anyway. And then you pause right there, because oftentimes, right after you confess, you can immediately hear how to make a mistake right again, right? Maybe God's just saying to sit this one out while he works on it and takes care of it. Says, this one's not you, your heart's in the right place, I got this one. But sometimes maybe he wants you to rebuild what you broke. And he says, yeah, that thing fell apart. Let's go. You got to go do this one. I'll be there. I'll help you out. And then we pray, as we forgive our debtors. That's the hard one. That's the one that's a bummer, right? We like getting the forgiveness. We don't want to dole it out as much. But in our better moments, we pray it because we want to pass on the grace that we've been given. We know it. It feels so good, and you want everyone to have that. You want them to feel that. So how do I best express my gratitude to God through that forgiveness? Well, so sometimes it's just hard. Help me to let go of my anger at Andrew for the thing that he did. Maybe you got something going on specific and you say, let me let go of that. I can't do it. Or, you know, remind me to give as good as I get. Like, don't let me forget about my blessings, Lord. I know that you gave me that thing yesterday. I can't believe I'm being this way. Or sometimes it's just hold me back, Lord, hold me back. And then pause, because you already know how hard it is to let someone who hurt you off the hook. Right? So in all of your angry arguments, listen, right? When you think it's something against you, listen in case God is just saying, you do that too. You do. You're guilty of it. And then thank him for letting you off that hook, for fixing you, for forgiving you. Thank him by forgiving them. That's all he's asking. That's how you love him. Show him that you're grateful. Forgive them. And then you pray, and do not lead us into temptation, because we want God to lead us away from it, all right? He's leading somewhere. If we've hitched our buggy, is that what you say? You hitched your buggy to him? He's leading us somewhere, so we're saying, lead us away from that temptation. So personalize that and say, well, okay, how do I best express my weakness and my need for his help? You know, here's one that I think a lot of us could personalize. Help me keep cool when conversations get political. Be cool, right? That's a hard one, but like I need his help in those situations. Or maybe it's just give me strength to turn down dessert today. Or sometimes it's just Jesus, take the wheel, you know? I'm a mess. And then pause to hear if God's given you the way away from whatever it is that's tempting you. He probably has. There's something there. Maybe it puts you back in his word. You know, you go, I don't know where to get the strength from this. And maybe you start reading, and then there's a story in his word that inspires your strength again. Says, that's right, you know, look, they can do it, I can do it. I see how you're working, God. Okay, we can let's try again. I believe that we can get this done. Or maybe it's a victory that he gave you recently. Maybe you were able to turn down that dessert a couple times, and you know that feeling. And because of those victories that he's helping you have, you're reminded that he's there with you all the time. Maybe that's what he's just saying, I'm here. Maybe that's your answer, you know? But listen for it. He'll reveal it. And then pray, but deliver us from the evil one. All right, because that's just chips on the table saying, I can't do it. We can't conquer anything alone. All right, we need to admit that. Step number one, I mean, we can't do anything alone. So how do I express my inadequacy every day in every prayer? I need to be reminded of that one because I know that I am too weak to get things done. So I might help, you know, help me. I can't escape the shame of what I did. You know, I know that I'm forgiven, but I can't feel it. I just help me to understand that it's in your hands that you do the conquering. That's it. Or maybe it's something very specific at this point where you're just, why is it that I can't quite quit smoking? Lord, help me. Help me. I can't do it on my own. Or show me a way out of this depression. You know, it's crippling. I don't have the strength. I need to lean on you. How do I get that? And then, oh, you better be silent right there because you'll want to hear his escape plan because he always has one. And maybe he's telling you that you need to let go of something that's been dragging you down. You know, you don't want to, but maybe he says, that's the thing. You just keep hearing it keeps popping up. You know, you read that chapter of that book and it's just evident that you got to let go of something because it's been dragging you down. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe he's saying you got to hold tighter to something because he wants to use that to lift you up. You know, there's something real encouraging that's just going to give you strength. Just hold on to it. Don't know. But listen, pray every day, ask for it, and listen. And then we pray, for yours is the kingdom because Jesus paid for it. All right, that's why it's his kingdom. We get that? Yours is the kingdom because Jesus paid the price for it. So how do I best express my devotion to my king? You know, my sacrificial king, the king who did that for me. I mean, I can't believe it. On Sunday morning, I gladly give my offering today because everything I have is yours. I would have nothing without you. You know, lead me where you want me, I might say. Or sometimes it's just thanks for letting me live here another day. I so appreciate it. That's amazing. And then listen, because once you confirm he's your king, do you hear him asking that maybe you behave more like you believe and belong in his kingdom? You know, sometimes I'll say that, I'll say, hey, you're my king. And then he goes, you sure don't act like it. And I can just hear that immediately. That's what somebody who's living for that king would not be that way. I mean, he can speak for hours on that one. So make sure that's true. Maybe you need to be, you know, rejuvenated by rereading our king's inspiring story. You know, connect with why you're serving him, why you want to live in that kingdom, and then get it right. He'll speak to you in his word right there. And then we pray, and the power and the glory forever, because all things awesome are from him. All right? Not from us. They are in spite of us. Everything that is awesome in this world is from him. So how do I best express my praise for an all-powerful God who saved me? What? That is crazy, right? The all-powerful God who saved me. I mean, it's just that individual relationship is crazy. You can say things like, maybe I'm out, I'm taking a hike, and I say, I can't believe that you made that sunset for me. What? The God of the universe, you did that for me to enjoy. That's it, for me to see you. Loud and clear, Lord, I hear you. You know, maybe just say, everything is nothing without you. I get it. You know, I'm seeing that today. I'm understanding that. Or simply, one of the greatest things that you can say that we try to say every single time we get here, and we should be saying it every day, how about this one? I worship you, Lord. You know, that's what I mean. And when I say, I worship you, Lord, you're God, I'm not. I worship you. And then listen, look around. Wait for him to speak. Are any of his incredible exhibitions of power that are absolutely everywhere, are any of them speaking to you right now? It could be something like maybe you just went on your family camping trip. You know, maybe it was the serenity of that camping trip where you were just lakeside and heard it lapping and it was this incredible thing. All the chaos in the world he can just take away instantly and put you in that moment and it shows you his gentleness. Wow, such awesomeness. Or maybe it was a thunderstorm that was bananas, went totally crazy. It was the loudest thing. It was insane. It was so huge. And it made you remember his strength, that he can shake the earth and the heavens anytime he wants, right? But he's speaking. He's speaking somewhere all the time. And then we we come to the end, right? And what do we pray at the end? We say, amen. That's how we say it too, right? We all, amen. Because we mean what we say. This doesn't matter. None of this matters unless we mean what we say. So say that with me. We mean what we say. Boy, put that on a shirt for this church. You better believe it. We mean what we say. So how do I best express my certainty for my belief in him? All right? Put that in your own word. Now, here's the fun part. It's such a short word. This little word is already packed with meaning, you know? So you can pick any of the meanings that already exist there. The Hebrew word for, you know, amen just really means truly. If you're the kind of person that says truly at the end, you know, and so, Lord, you're the best, truly. Or right on. Or so be it. This is all the same thing. And it's like the I do at a wedding, all right? That's what we're doing here with that amen. It's a vow to act on the truth that you've just acknowledged. Everything that you just said, everything that you just heard, your whole time with Dad in that talk, this is the I do, so be it. So it means all those things. So really, to make this amen your own, I say you just got to choose the right tone. All right, so just think about what your prayer was, what was in your prayer today, you know, what was going on in your prayer. Maybe it was a really tough one, you know, one of those just, oh, I'm in a rough spot, it's tough. And so you go through the whole prayer, and at the end of it, maybe you get an exhausted, amen, amen, Lord. Or maybe it was a challenging prayer, right, where you're like, I need to make some changes, this relationship's really strained, things are very difficult, it's so challenging. Well, it's okay, you can let him know. That's the tone, convey that. This is all about communication. You know, you can say, I'm on board, but I'm nervous, so I'm going to give you one of these. Amen, Lord, amen. You know, it's kind of got a question mark on the end of it, right? Or maybe you're praying, and you're just feeling it, and it's happening, and you're nailing all those things, and you got so much to say, and he's speaking so much to you, and you're just on fire after prayer, and you want the whole world to know it by sealing the deal with an amen. Right? You ever do one of those? My wife won't look at me anymore. That's embarrassing. I'm sorry for that. But sometimes it comes out. Sometimes it has to. Sometimes that's where you are, right? You just got to make it what you're feeling. Make it you. And sometimes, apparently, that's who I am. I don't know. But you just got to do it. But whatever it is, and however you end it, right? However you end it, even though that ends your prayer, it's not really over because we keep on listening, right? This is that pause portion. That was the last thing that we do. We're listening because however you wrap it up, you just promised to carry out all the things that you just prayed for. So you got to keep your eyes and your ears open all day, every day, for every whisper, every hint, or every nudge that Dad throws your way. And then you got to get in his word. Because that is the place where we confirm every answer that we've ever heard. Did you think he was saying something along these lines? You can't quite figure it out? Go check it. Get in that Bible. And that's where he speaks directly to you. No questions asked, guaranteed. And the more that you pray in this way over and over again, the more that you'll know what he has to say specifically about you, what he wants you to know about him, your relationship, and his plan. He'll keep telling you. He'll keep revealing it because this is an important scripture. He promises that if you call to me, I will answer you. All right? They don't go unanswered. Call to me. I will answer you in some way, somehow. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. That's what prayer's for. He says, I'm on board. Of course, please throw them out here. Because that's what I'm going to do. It's in the Bible right there. Just told you. And although prayer begins with us, right? We lobby out there. And we say, hey, you know, hey, morning pops. And we start praying. Even though we begin it, it should always end in an illuminating adventure through his word. Because that's where he's trying to take us all the time, where he guarantees he speaks to it. Because it's his word. And all scripture is God-breathed. You get that? That's what words are. They're God, they're breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. And so it's useful for all of the things that we're asking for all the things that he's trying to work, that's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. That's what we need prayer for. And why do we do it? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's for us, right? He's saying, plug it in there, get it done. And we're going to turn you into the person that I want you to be. So all you got to do is just practice getting real and then get ready to get going, because from that point, it's game on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, okay, all right. Well, then let's pray right now. Let's practice, guys. Father God, we love you and we thank you for providing prayer to equip us as we adventure through your word and this world. Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to pause and hear your answers to our personal prayers while we work to fill in all of life's blanks. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for personally giving and living the key to communication that's leading us to our transformation. We are so thankful. And so in your name we say, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.